The epistle to be read for Passion Sunday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Brethren, Christ being come a high priest of the good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen and the ashes of a heifer being sprinkled sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, that they are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8. At that time Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convict me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God, therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do not we say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you a liar. But I do know him and do keep his word. Abraham your father rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones, therefore, to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." Words taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, I would like to begin by telling you about St. Patrick, whose feast day we celebrate and commemorate today on this Passion Sunday. St. Patrick is among the most famous of missionary bishops and saints of the Church. He bore many sorrows and he suffered many hardships and trials for the cause of Christ, the Church, and the salvation of souls. But this he did heroically because he loved Christ that much. He loved prayer and he truly was among the most courageous and most patient among men. He was born in what is now Scotland in the year 387. He died in Ireland in the year 461. As a young man, you may know that he had been captured and taken to Ireland to be sold into slavery. But this was all arranged by divine providence, because in his autobiography titled Confessio, St. Patrick wrote that during his captivity, he did not really know God before, but he prayed many times during the captivity. "The love of God," he wrote, "and his fear increased in me more and more. Faith grew in me. And so in a single day, I have said as many as 100 prayers, and in the night nearly the same." But in those 6 years, he also learned in a most perfect manner the Celtic language, even as he became very familiar with the ancient pagan religion of Druidism, whose diabolical power over the Irish people he would one day break. God thus arranged, as it were, his captivity in Ireland to prepare him for his great mission. And you know, my dear people, sometimes things happen that we just don't understand why. But how like St. Patrick and all the saints at such times, we have to be calm and patient and trust God and his all-pervading providence, mindful that God has a plan. But in the year 432, St. Patrick went to Rome, and there Pope St. Celestine I bestowed upon him the mission to preach the gospel to the Irish people. It was the following summer of the year 433 that St. Patrick and his few companions arrived in Ireland. Soon after his arrival, the pagan leaders of the Druid religion, who were well versed in black magic and astrology, put up a fierce opposition to him, even as they sought to stir the chieftains and the Irish people against him. But St. Patrick was not so easily daunted by their threats and by their diabolical power. For he knew that if the Irish people were to receive the one true Catholic faith, like our crucified Savior who suffered and died for our salvation, he was going to have to suffer very much and perhaps even lay down his life for them. And although God did not, as we know, demand that Patrick shed his blood in martyrdom, still he suffered many trials, many difficulties, such as hunger, thirst, weariness, and cold, and even from the numerous threats of death, from which God often miraculously preserved him. But one day St. Patrick was informed that all the chieftains of Ireland were summoned by Leoher, the supreme monarch of the country, to celebrate the pagan feast of Tara. Patrick made his plans to be present for this great gathering of the rulers of Ireland. It was on March 26th, Easter Sunday of that year, that the assembly was to gather. And the supreme monarch, Leoher, had issued a decree ordering that on the preceding day, no fires should be enkindled in the land until the signal blaze from the royal house was set. The chiefs arrived that Saturday, that holy Saturday of that year, accompanied by numerous Druid priests who were warned by their demons that a messenger of Christ had come to destroy them. St. Patrick had arrived that day as well. He had situated himself on a certain hill opposite the valley of Tara. And on that night of Holy Saturday, he enkindled and blessed the paschal fire. The Druid priests, seeing the fire burning on the opposite hill, hastened to King Leoher, beseeching him that he put to death the one who enkindled that fire. The order was given, but Patrick could not be put to death as he was shielded by divine power. Nor could the paschal fire be put out as much as they tried to extinguish it. It continued to burn. And the paschal fire he lit symbolized the divinity of Christ. The paschal fire we light here on Holy Saturday morning symbolizes the divinity of Christ, which cannot be extinguished. The following day, Easter Sunday, Patrick, dressed in his full episcopal garb, bearing the mitre upon his head and holding a crozier in his left hand, accompanied by his companions, one of which carried a copy of the Gospels held high into the air, solemnly processed to the royal house of Leohair, the supreme monarch of England, Ireland. And in his presence, in the presence of the Irish chieftains and the Druid priests, Patrick began to preach the one true God in his only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. But a duel soon ensued between Patrick and the pagan priests. The Druids and their magicians put forth all their efforts, one biographer says, and employed all their incantations to Satan to maintain their sway over the Irish race. But the prayer and the faith of Patrick gloriously triumphed over them. In a final attempt, the Druid high priest solemnly invoked the devil to come to his aid. And no sooner had he done this, he was raised up high into the air. And he began to float, as it were, over Leohair, the chieftains and the Druid priests and Irish people, and he threatened them if they should give in to Patrick. But as he hovered above, pouring out his terrifying threats over the king and the chieftains, Patrick calmly prayed that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, his power be ended. And immediately the pagan priest came crashing down to his death. The final blow had been dealt. The devil and pagan superstition had been defeated in Ireland. And Christ and Christianity, the one true Catholic faith, had triumphed. St. Patrick then went on to preach the gospel to the king, the chieftains, and to the people. The king permitted him to preach the gospel throughout the whole nation. And this St. Patrick did. Thousands upon thousands of people were converted. They received the faith and baptism. In fact, it is recorded that St. Patrick personally consecrated over 350 bishops for the country. And so blessed were his labors that in a few short years, thousands of churches, monasteries, convents, and schools were established throughout the land. In fact, in less than 100 years after his death, the church in Ireland was sending missionary priests back to Europe to preach the gospel. And at his death on March 17th in that year 461, hundreds of thousands of people, bishops, priests, religious, and faithful came from all over Ireland to pay due honor to the apostle of their land and the spiritual father of their faith. Now the exchange, my dear friends, between our divine Savior and the Jews recorded in today's gospel, that is the exchange between Christ and the chief priests and the Pharisees, took place in Jerusalem almost 6 months before our Lord's passion and death. Our Lord was openly teaching in the temple when he was approached by them. And on this day, he, among other things, declared to them that he was the Messiah. He was the promised one that they had been waiting for. And thus he told them in so many words that he was God. even as he promised eternal life to all who should truly believe in him. He solemnly declared his divinity when he said to the unbelieving Jews, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." That is, before Abraham even existed, I existed. The words "I am" was the very name that God called himself to Moses on Mount Sinai 1400 years before. That name was so sacred that the Jews never spoke it. And the fathers of the church tell us that the name "I am" that God gave to himself means that God is the one and only eternal being. Or as St. Thomas Aquinas put it, God is the subsistent being itself. Now, when our Lord called himself "I am," the Jews understood perfectly that he was declaring himself to be God. And thus the gospel tells us that immediately, without hesitation, they took up stones to throw at him, not merely to drive him out of the temple, but to kill him on the spot. Our Lord was thus despised. He was persecuted by them because he proclaimed his divinity. And anyone, my dear people, anyone who will truly follow Christ, that is, believe that he is God, believe that he is the Son of the Eternal Father and the only Savior of the world, and profess the true Catholic faith, which is the only true Christian faith, and practice a true Catholic morality. Anyone who does this will, like our divine Lord, have to suffer some kind of opposition, some kind of persecution from others, perhaps even the persecution of torture and death. And thus did St. Patrick. St. Patrick suffered much opposition, persecution. He lived under a constant threat of death. And all because he preached the divinity of Christ and the Catholic faith and Catholic morality. But by a most heroic patience, courage, and confidence in God, he persevered and converted practically all of Ireland to the one true faith. How we, my dear people, how we must strive to be heroic in our patience, our courage, and our confidence in God and his divine providence over us. I know that we are up against so much evil today. You know, there really is a kind of neo-pagan movement rising in the world. A neo-paganism that is gripping this very nation. And by that I mean, people are encouraged to do whatever they want to do. They are encouraged to be whatever they want to be. Do whatever they want to do. That is the first commandment in the Church of Satan. It is the only commandment that the Church of Satan teaches its followers. Do whatever you want to do. And that's what our young people especially are being encouraged. Even as worship and glorification of the devil is becoming more and more prevalent in society, There are movies made that glorify the devil. The music that is constantly being produced glorifies the devil and impurity. Public places, government buildings are putting up goat heads, which is a symbol of the devil. And even in schools, among grade school children in certain parts of the country, there has been controversy over after-school Satanist clubs. And if this weren't bad enough, impurity, perversion, vice, and pornography are a deadly spiritual plague that are killing tens of millions of souls in our nation alone. You can worship the devil publicly. You can be impure. You can be given to the most horrific perversions and other evils. But the only thing it seems that you cannot do today, the only thing it seems that if you do, you'll be very criticized and shunned, is if you profess the true, unchanged Catholic faith as it always was before Vatican II, and if you hold to a standard of morality, a standard of right and wrong as God has revealed and as the Church has always held. This is gone even in the new Church of Vatican II. It's gone. Morality is broken in the new Church. If there ever were a need, my dear people, for daily reparation to made to God and the intercession of Our Lady of Fatima by means of the rosary, it is now. How we ought to be praying the Holy Rosary every day for Our Lady's intercession as she asked, even begged us to do at Fatima. And this for the conversion of poor sinners, this to obtain the mercy and the protection of God. Let us, my dear people, do our part, because we all have a small part, as it were, to play in the conversion of our country back to Christ. Just as St. Patrick did his part to obtain the conversion of Ireland and its people, we have a part to do as well. And our part is especially to persevere in the belief and practice of our holy faith. Our part is to pray. It is to do penance according to our state in life. That is, pray the rosary every day. Be faithful to our daily prayers. Attend extra masses during the week, if this is possible. And offer up to God every day our bodily aches and pains and the daily crosses of life as little sacrifices. Even as we must strive, if we will save our own souls, to live pure and chaste lives in the state of grace, keeping impurity and mortal sin out of our homes and out of our hearts. Let us do our part and have the utmost confidence in the goodness and mercy of God. For in spite of all the evils around us, in spite of the opposition, the growing opposition to the one true faith, and in spite of all the trials and tribulations we have in our own personal lives, our divine Savior loves us. Our divine Savior cares about us. Our divine Savior will save us if we persevere with confidence, courageously professing practicing our faith, the same Catholic faith that St. Patrick himself once preached in Ireland. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.